From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on this day in Maine, Thursday, August 6, 2026. The Board of Maine Health today voted to close the birthing unit at Lincoln Hospital in Damariscotta. Maine Health vowed to not close any of the system's other birthing units for 2 years, but as Patty White reports, that's little solace for many community members.
In a written announcement, Maine Health says the roughly 130 annual births at the Damariscotta Hospital are too few, and they haven't been able to maintain stable staffing despite recruitment efforts. Officials say they'll create a new regional model in which Lincoln Hospital will provide pre- and postnatal care, and Midcoast Hospital in Brunswick will provide labor and delivery services.
This is probably one of the most harmful decisions our community will ever see.
Margaret Reynolds is among a group of local moms who formed a coalition that conducted an aggressive campaign to try to keep the birthing unit open.
These are people who do not live in our community making decisions that will kill mothers and babies and create a maternity care desert for Lincoln County.
Supporters of the birthing unit failed to win an emergency court injunction this week to try to block the Maine Health Board vote. Over the past decade, Maine has lost more than a third of its hospital birthing centers. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
As the Trump administration continues to target Maine for suspected Medicaid provider fraud, the State Department of Health and Human Services is touting an array of enforcement actions. As Steve Missler reports, the state named 35 affected providers.
On Wednesday, the department posted a notice on its website claiming that it had suspended payments to five providers based on credible allegations of fraud. It also terminated payments to two others, citing credible allegations of health and safety risks, and disenrolled 28 other agencies from its provider network because none had submitted claims within a year. The announcement came after Dr. Mehmet Oz, the celebrity doctor now heading the U.S. Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, visited the state for interviews with a right-wing website and Paul LePage, the former Republican governor now running for Congress. At first, DHHS did not provide the names of providers sanctioned, but it eventually released a list after Maine Public made a request, citing the state's right to know law. In December, DHHS announced that it had suspended payments to Gateway Community Services, naming it in press statements and distributing its enforcement letter. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Steve Missler.
A Maine Health nurse detained by ICE last week is being released today, according to Maine Congresswoman Shelley Pingree. A Department of Homeland Security spokesperson said Wednesday that Deborah Kapisha, originally from Zambia, had overstayed a visa. In a video posted to social media today, Pingree says that's misleading because Kapisha had applied for asylum.
You come in on a visa, as she did. She applied for asylum, as was necessary for her to stay here. She's been legally granted work authorization, and she's going to work helping Maine people working at our hospital.
Over 100 nurses and supporters rallied Wednesday outside Maine Medical Center in Portland, calling for Kapisha's release and urging Maine Health to sponsor her for permanent legal status. A man arrested by Lewiston police during a traffic stop has been charged with resisting arrest and failure to give correct identification to police. A video of the arrest taken by a Lewiston resident has gotten more than 1,000 views on social media. The video shows a police officer kneeling on a man and repeatedly hitting him in the face. In a Facebook post, police say the man actively resisted by refusing to comply with an officer's commands, quote, resulting in officers using force to take him into custody. They say he also gave them a false identity. Police did not respond to requests for comment on the officer's use of force, but News Center Maine reported that an internal investigation is underway, consistent with department policy. The Maine Supreme Judicial Court has affirmed the state's decision to award a 10-year Medicaid transportation contract to Colorado-based Motive Care. The social services nonprofit Penquist CAP challenged the state's decision in several regions. In its lawsuit, the agency alleged the process for awarding the $750 million contract was unfair. This week, the Maine Supreme Judicial Court rejected those claims, upholding the findings of a lower court. Earlier this year, the court rejected a similar challenge against the state brought by Waldo CAP. Maine needs to add about 80,000 new housing units in the next 4 years to meet existing demand, according to state officials. And there's a critical need for housing that low and moderate income residents can afford. The Rumford-based developer Dooryard says it can help by citing multiple turnkey modular homes on narrow municipal lots near infrastructure that's already in place. Carol Bousquet reports.
78-year-old Virginia DeRocco moved into her new one-bedroom apartment in Rumford 3 months ago with her small dog and cat.
I moved a lot of times and around the country and stuff in my lifetime, and I am so happy with where I am right now. It's perfect.
DeRocco's unit is one of eight in a white two-story apartment building with a farmhouse-style front porch. An identical building sits at the other end of the one-acre parcel on Prospect Avenue with a duplex in between. In all, 18 families will live here at a reduced rent of $1,275 a month, including utilities.
It's more than I had expected, but I'm not unhappy with it because it includes everything. I mean, you don't have to worry about getting an electric bill and who you're going to pay to shovel snow and all of this stuff. Everything's included, and so it just takes a lot of stress off me.
The things that can happen here are just the same as they are anywhere else. And we can still have and build beautiful homes that quite honestly look like they've been here for decades.
Town manager George O'Keefe joined other officials at a ribbon cutting for the project in June. The parcel used was acquired as part of a tax foreclosure, so residents pay the town to rent their units. The buildings were financed by Maine Housing through the Rural Affordable Rental Housing Program. To save money on infrastructure costs, Dooryard seeks out so-called infill sites, such as vacant, abandoned, or underused parcels located in built-up areas with roads, water pipes, and electricity nearby. It also relies on its modular construction company, KBS Builders, in South Paris, which can churn out a custom modular project in about 2.5 weeks.
Well, production line technically starts about halfway down on this side.
KBS Home Builders president Thatcher Butcher says the process starts in the front office, where the design team takes Dooryard drawings and figures out how to break them into smaller building blocks using a high-tech saw that tells the operator what grade, species, and size of lumber to use.
And he loads it all up, as you can see them doing here. And the saw cuts off all the materials and spits them out the other side. And it labels all the materials, and actually will label where one piece intersects the other. So it eliminates measuring out of the process as well, too.
Butcher says those building blocks pass through 15 assembly stations that include lifts that allow workers to access all walls of a building block to insulate and seal them, and then install electricity and plumbing. Once the blocks are completed, they are loaded on a truck and assembled on site. Dooryard's Melissa McHugh says an 18-unit project in Yarmouth and another in Brunswick are in the pipeline, and more are on the way.
How many units in how many years?
Yeah.
5 years from now.
So we just launched a $10 million fund. And so the goal for that is to inject $1 million into 10 projects. And we're trying to do that over the next 5 years.
And McHugh says if Dooryard can raise money from private investors, the numbers could grow to more than 80 units in 10 communities. At her new 400-square-foot apartment in Rumford, Virginia DeRocco's dog is sounding an alert.
He can't see out very good, and if he hears a noise, he can't tell what it is. It bothers him.
DeRocco says now that she's settled in, her goal is to help others through volunteering as much as her health will allow and to enjoy life.
That's my focus right now is I want to take care of myself and live alone, and this place will enable me to do that.
According to Dooryard, the Rumford development has 9 one-bedroom units still available for rent. The Madison project has 4 apartments vacant, and the Newcastle project is fully leased. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Carol Bousquet.
And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, Senior College, Learning Later in Life. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.